The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Thanks, Amy. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And well done for making it up to the early service. You do know this is the 9:15, don't you? Yeah? Good. Good to see you here anyway. So, brilliant. So, if you've been around over the last few weeks, you know that we're kind of doing a series in the morning about prayer, and that's being followed through into our home groups and hopefully into our own individual lives as we think about the whole topic of what it means to pray. So this morning we're looking at a subject of what do you do when prayer's not answered? Have I got the answers for you when prayer's not answered? And the quick answer is no. There is no answer to unanswered prayer, but there are some things for us to think about. A few years ago, I was watching a documentary. Why I got to watch a documentary on the legal system of Iran, I do not know. That's just how boring I am. But there was a good reason. I noticed this lady who very first thing in the morning was there at the judge's desk, asking him to grant her legal request. Her legal request was, "I want a divorce." Now, rights or wrongs of divorce, that's not on the table. He just looked at her and said, "No." So she went away. He tried a case, and she was back at his desk saying, "I want a divorce." "No." She went away. Tried another case. She was back at his desk. After every case, she was back at his desk asking him to give her a divorce. So finally at the end of the day, and I'm thinking, at any minute now, he's going to have her arrested for contempt of court, because that's what we do in England, you know, or in America, or Hollywood, or wherever. You just arrest that woman, contempt of court. It didn't. He just put up with her, nagging him and nagging him and nagging him all day, till finally at the end of the day, he's almost like, "For goodness sake, you can have your divorce." Last week, Pastor Ian shared a passage from Luke's Gospel where Jesus told an amazingly similar story. We know it as the parable of the importunate woman or the persistent woman who went to a judge who didn't believe in God and he didn't fear men. And then this woman went and said, "I want this request." And he said, "No, go away, go away, go away." And she kept coming back and back and back till finally he said, "I don't believe in God. I don't fear God. I don't fear men, but I do fear this woman." And I'm frightened that if I keep sending her away, all she's going to do is keep coming back and back and back till finally he said yes. And Jesus said at the end of that passage, he said, "That's how prayer should be. Even so, when the Son of Man comes again, will he still find faith in all the earth?" Even so. So Jesus seems to be saying an aspect of praying will be persistence. An aspect of our praying may not be that we see the kind of breakthroughs or answers to prayer that we always want to see. But Jesus said, when I come back, will you still be trusting in me? In other words, when I come back, will you be in a place where whatever goes on in your prayer life, you will still have faith in me? Some of us are in a place where prayer is tough. We've been asking God to do things for years. Some of us have been praying for spouses who don't know Jesus and have never trusted Jesus and who seem to refuse to do that. And the spiritual pain that we feel in that situation, when year after year after year we keep praying and there seems to be no answer. Some of us live in and live through toxic work situations. And I've shared with some of you, and you know, with toxic work situations don't go away. They're not 5-minute things. It can be week after week and month after month. And I've walked with some of you who've been through toxic work situations that have lasted year after year. And I've prayed, and there just seems to be no change. Seems like you're knocking on heaven's door and it's not opened. Or somebody once said, the heavens are brass. Nothing happened. Some of you prayed for things in your life and you've never seen the answer. And you, what's that all about, God? Well, let's have a think about Jesus' prayer. Some of you know the poster or the kind of little poem picture of footsteps in the sand. Anybody knows that footstep? Right, okay. It's kind of it's a bestseller at Christian bookshops, basically, and conventions. So if you don't know the story, it's a guy who's looking back on his life and he sees himself walking through the beach of life. And there's two sets of footprints in the sand as he's walked with his Lord. But then he notices that some of the stormier times, there's only one set of footprints. So he has a good go at the Lord. And he says, why, when I was going through that tough time, was there only one set of footprints? It seemed like I was walking all by myself. And the Lord said, son, you weren't walking by yourself. There's only one set of footprints there because at that time, I was carrying you. And we all love that because it's really sentimental. You didn't know there's another bit to it, did you? The Lord says, and where you can see some great big furrows in the sand, that's where I was dragging you, kicking and screaming through life. That's me. But the reality of it is, we all face prayers that are unanswered. We all have spiritual battles and emotional battles and frustrations. So how do we deal with it? Some of you have been following the 24/7 and doing it in your home groups, and some of these are the thoughts that come out of Pete Gregg, who's very involved in leadership of the 24/7. And he makes the point, first of all, that we have to recognize that we live in God's world, and sometimes the way things work is not what we want. So if it rains on your wedding day, that is not God's judgment against you. You might have prayed for sunshine and you didn't get it, you got rain. That's not God judging you or God being particularly vindictive because he got out of bed the wrong side that morning. Do you have a bed? Do you get out? Never mind. Okay. It just is. It just is. One of our daughters got married and she had rain, hail, and sunshine on her wedding day. So she got all three. And it just was. That's how it is. And we've got to recognize that. Sometimes things don't work because it's the way the world works. Another time, and Pete Gregg makes this point, that we come to God and we have to acknowledge that God's will is not always what we understand. And the way he answers may not always be the way we think he should. And what we have to understand is that prayer isn't like Aladdin rubbing a magic lantern and finding that if he rubs it in a certain way, the genie will come out and answer his three favourite wishes. God's prayer isn't like that. And sometimes we think it is. You know, we pray once and we think, well, God didn't do it. So pray twice, God didn't do it. Let's rub the lantern three times and maybe God will. And prayer's not like that. We have to acknowledge when we come to prayer that we're coming to an infinite, all-wise God, and you're not, and I'm not. One of the humblest things I've had to find out is that I'm a bit thick. When it comes to the universe, and it comes to knowing everything, I fall pretty short mentally and intellectually. And there's times when I come to God and say, God, I just don't get this. God, I just don't understand it. God, this frustrates me. God, this leaves me wondering what on earth is going on. And I just have to humbly say, I'm not God. I don't know his will. I don't know his way. And when I come to pray, I've got to come with that humility of heart. So that's God's world, God's will. And then also God's walk. As we walk with God in prayer, things happen that God doesn't want. I don't believe God wants somebody to be raped. Don't believe God wants somebody to be stabbed. Things happen in our world that actually touch our lives. It may be neither of those things, but things have happened to you that God didn't actually want. And we have to acknowledge that. But then within that situation, there's the incredible potential for God to work in your life in a way that can produce God things. Now, it's really easy for us to trot out nice verses like Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. And you might have had that said to you. Somebody comes along, sees you in your tough situation and say, all things work together for good. And you want to go, shut up. I don't want to hear that because it doesn't work like that. It's not easy. It's not trite. And I wish that we learned the next verse further on. I wish this was just as famous, where it says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. The reason God can take a hold of you in a tough situation and bring it for good is because his purpose is actually to shape Christ in you. So if you're going through a situation that demands incredible patience, then the work of God will be to shape you so you become a more patient person, more Christ-like person. If the situation you're in demands incredible persistence, what the Bible calls forbearance, just sticking at it, then within that situation, God can take a hold of you and make you more forbearing. Stick at the situation because that will produce greater character within you. Don't ask God for patience because he won't waft it over you like a magic wand. He'll stick you in the middle of something that demands you learn to be patient. Don't ask God for persistence because he'll put you in a work situation that actually calls for you to be persistent. Or a marriage. Just saying. God's heart, Paul puts it when he writes to the Galatian church, he says, I'm like a midwife. And then he dares to say, I'm giving the pains of childbirth. How a bloke dares to use that analogy, I do not know. Anyway, Paul, you know, treaded where angels didn't go. Paul says, I'm longing. I feel like I'm in labor pains to see Christ being formed in you. And maybe some of the tough times of prayer, maybe some of the hard times where we feel like we're knocking and not getting through, those are the times when God is actually dealing with us and shaping us because he's absolutely determined to shape his son in you. So you will be the person God means you to be as if Jesus was you. If you can get a hold of that, then some of the struggles of prayer might begin to make a little bit more sense to you. So those are some of the things that kind of Pete Gregg flags up about prayer for us to kind of think about when we're saying prayer's not easy, and especially when it's not answered. So here are some of the things that he picks out of this passage that Amy read to us. First of all, when Jesus comes to pray, he's under pressure, emotionally and spiritually. He knows that the end has come. He knows that, all the plotting and all the political, spiritual scheming against him is reaching its kind of pinnacle, if you will. And he shared it with the disciples often enough, though they didn't always get it. But he knows the end has come. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying an impossible prayer. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane pouring his heart out. And as he does that, the first thing he says is, Abba, Father. Abba. Hebrew children are taught to speak. And the first words on their lips is Abba. Arabic children are taught to speak. And the first word on their lips is Abba, Abba, Abba. We might say Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. But he comes to his Father. And for us to know that, when we come to prayer, however tough the situation we're facing, however much of a struggle or a wrestling match our prayers might be, first of all, don't give up on the fact that you're coming to a God who loves you. Don't give up on the fact that, he cares deeply and immensely about you. And that the first place to begin with, as Jesus taught us, and we looked a couple of weeks ago, when we begin to pray, we pray, Our Father in heaven. We come with reverence, we come with love, but we're coming above everything. We're coming to a Father. So don't lose sight of that. When you're struggling or battling with prayer, don't lose sight that he's your Father. And then Jesus goes on to pray, everything is possible with you. Everything is possible. And he prays, let this cup pass from me. Everything's possible. God, I know you can do this. I know you can release me from Calvary. I know you can release me from this trial, which when Luke writes about it in his Good News version of the Jesus story, he said he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The agony that Jesus was going through in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says to his Father, everything is possible with you. And don't for a minute doubt God's power just because your situation isn't changing. Don't for a minute doubt that God can't change those circumstances just because they've not changed yet. But even as Jesus said, all things are possible for you. It may be that that situation doesn't get changed. And Jesus then prays, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you want. In other words, there's always got to be this place of submission, place of obedience, place of giving ourselves up to God's will and God's way, even if that doesn't turn out to be exactly what I wanted. We've got to do that. And that's why Jesus goes on to pray, not my will, but yours. That means we don't have to pretend that it's okay. You know, not my will, but yours be done, so it's all right. Because it isn't, is it? Some of the prayers you pray that are unanswered are prayers of pain. If you're praying for healing and it's not happening, if you're praying for a spouse to become a Christian or a son or a daughter to come to know the Lord, those can be prayers of pain. If you're going through toughest of circumstances, you're not praying easy prayers. You're praying battling, wrestling prayers. Sometimes we pray from a mountaintop where it's all brilliant, you know, and we just want to worship God. Other times, we're down in the darkest place. And we're praying the prayer Jesus prayed on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Psalm 22. So, whatever we do, we don't have to pretend, oh, it's all okay. You just love those people, don't you? You know, everything's brilliant. No, it's not. It's hard. And they just go, well, hallelujah anyway. And you just want to go. Because it doesn't work like that, does it? And it's okay for it not to work like that. We don't have to pretend. But we do need to pray. God, not my will, but yours be done. I am submitted to him, even though I don't understand. Even though my circumstances aren't changing, I am submitted to him. One of the things I learned last summer when I was reading Dirty Glory, which is one of the 24/7 prayer books that Pete Gregg wrote, he challenges us to be a bit more strident in our praying. We're all very nice in English, aren't we? You know, and kind of almost like somebody once said that the Church of England was the middle class at prayer or the Tory party at prayer. You know, dear Lord, we do beseech thee, most merciful Father. You know, we think we've got to be nice when we come to God, don't we? And Pete Gregg says, stop being nice, get strident. And because of that, I got a bit challenged about how nice my prayers are. And so I pray in our conservatory in the morning, and I don't know if Catherine's ever heard me, but now I just started knocking, because Jesus said, knock and it'll be opened to you. So I've got some situations that I've not seen answers to. Quite a few years ago now, I got the opportunity just to witness, just the briefest of witness to a tourist guide who took us around Ephesus. And I shared with him, and I gave him a Christian book. And ever since then, I've prayed for him consistently. Prayed for his family situation, because he and his wife have not been able to have children. So I pray that he'll come to know Jesus. I pray that we have children. And now I knock. I say, God, I'm bashing on your table. That's if God has got a table. I'm bashing on your table. Oh, he did. Ian showed us a picture of it last week, didn't he? I'm asking you, will you break through in this guy's life? Will you bring him to know Jesus, and will you give him children? And another situation where friends who are missionaries and one of their working relationships fell apart. So whilst the ministering in a city across in Eastern Europe, there's a colleague who's now an ex-colleague, and there's been no reconciliation. Well, I read Paul's letter to Corinth, and he says, we've got this amazing gospel of reconciliation and we're ambassadors. And I'm like, God, it's not working. So I'm saying, God, will your reconciling gospel work in this situation? And I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm knocking, asking God. I've still not seen change. Every so often I send an email, or it's one of the few Facebook links that I've got. I've got about 3 Facebook friends. Don't worry about it. It's because I rejected you all. And I just say, how are things going? And I just want to know, is prayer being answered? And I've still not got a yes to say it's answered. So I'm going to keep knocking. And that's what God has called us to do. Even so, when the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith in all the earth? Don't give up hope. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop expecting God. Don't stop asking him to work in those tough situations. How do we kind of respond to that when prayer's not dealt with? Can I just suggest 2 or 3 things? First of all, whatever you do, pray. I don't know when the best space for you to pray is during the day. I know many people do it first thing, before breakfast or whatever. But whatever you do, find space to pray. And make prayer part of your life, an integral part of your life. So it isn't just like every so often you shoot one up to God and expect him to do something. Make the whole of your conversation with God an integral part of who you are. So take time to pray. Make time to pray. And follow him in prayer. And then I encourage you to pray with someone. Find a prayer partner. If you're a bloke, find another bloke. If you're a lady, find another lady. Find a prayer partner or a prayer triplet. I've had a friend who's been praying together for 30 years now. We meet generally about 9-10 times a year, it works out. We ask each other questions. We talk about our lives. We talk about our wives. We talk about our children. We talk about our work. And we pray for each other. We pray for each other. So find somebody to pray with. And can I encourage you too? Will you go away with this as the gentlest but strongest challenge? Come and pray with us. Tuesday is prayer day at Fulwood. We pray at 7 o'clock in the morning for an hour, 12 o'clock at lunchtime for an hour, and 7:30 on a Friday, Tuesday night for an hour. That's on a Tuesday. If you come at 7 in the morning, you get a cup of coffee, a cup of tea to waken thee up. But can I encourage you? One of my worries about this place is that those people who come to pray on a Tuesday are growing old. Just a fact of life. I'm one of the youngest there. Okay? Not really, but this place has been built on prayer. And I want to say that if we lose a sight of trusting God in prayer and being committed to understanding that our walk with God has got to begin as a walk in prayer, I'm worried that we'll get so busy, and we are busy as a church. There's an amazing amount of stuff going on. We'll be so busy as a church, we lose a sight of the fact that everything is about Him working in us and then working through us. Can I gently, strongly challenge you to consider coming to pray? Read the book of Acts. The disciples kept coming back together to pray. Now, I know you can't always make it. I can't always make it. But I am committed to it. I'm glad that all our meetings, all our team meetings, spiritual leadership team, administrative leadership team, staff team, most of our ministry teams, when they meet for their meetings, they read God's word and they pray together. I'm glad about that. But there's something special about coming to pray. The last two Tuesday nights, there was 5 people. 2 Tuesday nights ago, there was 8 people last Tuesday night. But I'll tell you what, we sat and prayed in God's presence. It was amazing just to know that we were bringing things that are about us as a church before God and praying. I encourage you to do that. But above everything, God's called us to this incredible journey of prayer, this incredible privilege of stepping right into His presence, going right up to His table and bashing it down, saying, God, will you do something in this situation? Let's pray together. Just in a moment of quietness, what's on your heart when you think about persistent prayers? What are the prayers that come to your mind? What does the Holy Spirit bring into your mind? Who does the Holy Spirit bring into your mind? In a moment, we're going to stand and the team's going to sing a song to us. But as we do that, it may be just the right thing for you this morning to come and kneel and pray and just begin again that persistent prayer that maybe you've lost sight of, or just simply take the time along with the rest of us to bring some of your heart needs to God in prayer. So just come and kneel at the front. I'll come and kneel and I'm going to pray through a few things. But just don't be afraid just to bring those things to God in prayer this morning. And then tomorrow. And then the day after that. And the one after that. And then Thursday. And Friday and onwards. Let's be a praying people. Trusting, hoping, and persisting. Let's pray. Let's stand together.